So what I wanted to do tonight is a little bit Divrei Hespet and Rabbi Neumann, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, but at the same time, make it a very, hopefully, practical vad. Just came off. I was in New York. I had the schus of speaking there in the yeshiva. Some of this speech resembles that, but not so much that it wouldn't be kedai to watch. All the speeches. And really, it was an amazing, amazing night. Just a couple nights ago in Queens. Today they had another hesped, beautiful hesped in Eretz Yisrael. Kinnerek Shlita was able to come to yeshiva and speak. And there's, Be'ez Hashem, a week from tonight, there'll be one here in the yeshiva. And really, I believe the purpose of speaking about Rabbi Neumann, I'm glad I get to do it first, is to put it in perspective. Because he's somebody that perhaps some people here went through the Masefta and do remember some of his visits from years past, have some semblance of knowledge who he was, even though you're catching a glimpse of the back of Rabbi Neumann. But definitely most people don't have much semblance of knowledge who Rabbi Neumann was, is, and it's very kedai to understand who the figure was and what we can learn from him. Just as an introduction, Rabbi Neumann, as defined by all his peers, Anashim Chashuvim Ad Ma'od, everyone described him as an absolute Adam Gadol. And the stories you hear about him were Shabbos Ozen. It's not Shaykh. You know, and even though it looks like, okay, you know, Rabbi Neumann's son, Yisrael Neumann is the Rosh Hashiva here. It's pretty close. But we're so far. We don't appreciate it. They spoke Sunday night in Queens. One of his chavrusas spoke. Rabbi Mordechai Hecht himself is up there. He's Baba Yamim, very chashuv and marbitz Torah for many years. He said over that he knows for a fact in his bachur years, perhaps, Rabbi Neumann slept at night for 2.5 hours a night. Rabbi Neumann spent the rest of the time learning. He had naps, hour naps, a little bit, 2 times during the day. So Sach HaKol, he ended up sleeping 4.5 hours. But he trained himself just to sit and learn nonstop, just needed 2.5 hours a night of sleep and learn Basmat Rab. I'm not saying this so anyone should have a havmin of copying it. It's quite insane. He learned Kiseder. Most days he didn't learn 3 Siddharim a day. He learned 5. He had a Seder before davening, after davening, morning Seder, second Seder, night Seder, post-night Seder. 5 Siddharim a day. Slept 2.5 hours a night. His Hasmada was absolutely legendary. Chavetz Chaim in those days had Masmidim after Masmidim after Masmidim. Tremendous, tremendous Gedolim. And he was known in the yeshiva as one of the biggest Masmidim. In terms of Dikta and Halacha, they also told a story, which is quite amazing. I'm sure probably most people here, you know, we learned Maseches Kedushin, we learned Daf Mem Aleph, the beginning of the second parak. Ish Mekadosh Bo V'Shlucho, first Gemara there, says, what's the point of telling us V'Shlucho? Ish and V'Shlucho. Gemara says, Mitzvah Bo Yosem V'Shlucho. A Yesod, Halacha. Any time a person has a chance to do something himself, it's better he does it himself. The Mishnah Berurah there brings examples from the Gemara, right? Prepare for Shabbos. Okay? You can have your clean lady, your wife, some different people, comma, do different things. But Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucho says, you know what? You should do something yourself. And the Gemara tells a different Amoraim who did things for Shabbos. Rabbi Neumann was medaktik in halacha, and he applied this principle to a mitzvah d'oraisa called milah. Rabbi Neumann went and learned how to do bris milah just for the sole aspect that when he had sons, he did the bris on them. Nobody else. Baruch Hashem was zochet to 4 sons. He did 4 milahs. Mitzvah b'yosef mishlucho. He spent the time and the effort to learn milah, just so he can mekayim that din. That when he had a chance to give a bris milah to his children, he wouldn't have to hire someone else. He'll do it himself. And many, many things. He would ask Shiloh upon Shiloh, the connection to Ramosha. Everything. Mamsh medaktik bahalacha. The letter of the law. Fullest degree. Chesed. Rabbi Harris told the story. He said he was just in Chicago. The Rosh Kolol of the Chicago Community Kolol, Rabbi Moshe Francis Shlita, told him the entire city of Chicago is forever indebted to Rabbi Neumann. Harris, for what? He says, most people don't know this, but I'll tell you the story. The Posuk of Chicago is someone named, I'm sure we're all familiar with Shmuel First. Tremendous Posuk, tremendous Talmud of Ramosha. Rabbi First was closest to Rabbi Neumann. They together learned by Ramosha, Hakdim and Halacha. Rabbi First learned by Ramosha for a certain amount of time, and he was in Chicago, lived in Chicago, and he would fly in to meet with Ramosha. And at a certain point, wherever he was staying, and staying on some family, some connection, at a certain point, he wasn't able to stay there anymore. And Rabbi First said, okay, Lamaisa, I have no mitzias, can't fly in, stay in a hotel, probably costs too much just to fly in. And he basically was going to stop learning by Ramosha. But Neumann says, no, you can't do that. He says, I'll take care of you, come to my house, do this and that. And Rabbi Neumann personally took care of Rabbi First and allowed Rabbi First to fly in for years after years, more and more time to spend with Ramosha. And this Rosh Kolol of Chicago was saying, it's pashut, every extra bit of shimush that Rabbi First got from Ramosha obviously helped him excel in being a tremendous posuk. And it was only because of a chesed, which no one else knew, that was done by Rabbi Neumann. And there are stories after stories of all these different gemachs and chesed and this and that, things that he helped out people with. Torah, halacha, Yerushalayim, chesed. He was an olam gadol. He had so many, so many milos. Rabbi Harris got up there and said, this yeshiva would not be here today if not for Rabbi Neumann. Rabbi Neumann stood by the Rosh Yeshiva's side. He said he was the Rebbe in setting up what the yeshiva is, setting up the siddurim of the yeshiva, which in Mela affected all the branches. And the yeshiva is here today because of Rabbi Neumann. Rabbi Welcher spoke in Eretz Yisrael today. He had a tremendous daher too. He said, the Rosh Yeshiva was a dreamer. He told the stories, he said in the 1960s, the yeshiva had a small amount of guys in Queens. It was a fledging yeshiva. The yeshiva almost closed down, in the late 50s after Rav Scheinberg left. Rabbi Neumann just assumed the helm. Rabbi Neumann is the one who took over after Rav Scheinberg. And the yeshiva almost closed down. Very small amount of guys. But once the yeshiva started getting going, has Talmidim, the yeshiva foresaw this vision. He's going to build branches and branches. And Rabbi Welcher said, he'd hear the yeshiva talk. It was like there's a tremendous disconnect between the yeshiva and the guys. The yeshiva was a dreamer, was a thinker, was very theoretical. And it's very hard for a Talmud to deal with something which is so above, like, I don't know what he's talking about. But Welcher said, as pasha to him, the person who brought the yeshiva's Torah down to earth, the practical right-hand man, is Rabbi Neumann. Besides building the yeshiva, the fact that the guys accepted what the Rosh Yeshiva said, understood the Rosh Yeshiva, was through the channel of Rabbi Neumann. That's what Rabbi Welcher said today in Eretz Yisrael. So there's so many things, and it's very g'day to see the Hespedim, hear the Hespedim that happened in Queens. To watch, you could even watch the Hespedim that happened today in Eretz Yisrael, but also to appreciate what's coming up next week here in Yeshiva. But what I'd like to do tonight, let's focus on one aspect of Rabbi Neumann. An aspect which I think was not so picked up by many of the earlier speakers in the Hespedim, but definitely something that defines Rabbi Neumann. I remember a story. I was there at the Shloshim for the Rosh Yeshiva, this type of event that they had for the Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbi Neumann was the first speaker. Within his speech, he made the following declaration. He said, I had 2 years in Blatcher, in the Rishiva's Blatcher, with the two happiest, greatest years of my life. That's what he said. He said, I just love the Rosh Hashivas, the hocking, the back and forth, the working on the share. It was so beautiful, so amazing. Two happiest years of my life. And you think about that, okay? You know, I remember hearing from Nelson Tsefinkel Zatzal. You know, so many people look back in their years in yeshiva and they say, oh, those were wonderful, wonderful years. It depends, you know, what happened after in life. Rabbi Neumann, for years, there's no branches. He had the monopoly on Talmidim. Anybody who went through Chafetz Chaim had to go through his share. He had Talmidim after Talmidim said share for decades upon decades. And it wasn't as if he got the B Talmidim of the yeshiva. Not that that's a bad thing. But he got the best of the best. My father-in-law was a Talmud. Rabbi Grunbaum was a Talmud. Rabbi Luban, Rabbi Jacobson from Brooklyn. Talmud after Talmud. Rosh Hashiva after Rosh Hashiva. Went through his share. Awesome Talmidim. Wasn't that the highlight of your life? Giving share to such Talmidim? Depends on what your perspective in life is. But Neumann viewed himself his whole life, first and foremost, as a Talmud. That was his greatest title. It was a Magid Shir, he was a Mashkiach, Rosh Hashiva, whatever you want to call him. But first and foremost, he was a Talmud of the Rosh Hashiva. And he carried that title with pride his entire life. It's amazing. In his house, he has tapes upon tapes, reels after reels, videos after videos. Anything that the Rosh Hashiva ever said, he himself tried to tape, tried to record, had notes on it. And it's all titled Rabbeinu. His Rebbe. He might have had him in Blatcher close to 70 years ago. But you know what? He was still his Rebbe until his dying day. His Rebbe, was being a Talmud, was his total focus. And that's how you really grade a person. It's funny. In yeshiva, sometimes we have these, like, other things we get caught up in. Like, who's the biggest lamdan in yeshiva? Who's the biggest hacker? Baal Musar? Well, these are all wonderful things, don't get me wrong. But you know what? Probably the greatest title you could say is, who's the greatest Talmud in the yeshiva? Who's the closest to this Rebbe? Works on his Torah. Understands it. The Rosh Yeshiva himself modeled himself that way. He'd always talk about, my father was a Talmud of the Altar of Slabodka. And in the ambulance, on the way to the final time to the hospital, he would say, my Rebbe, the Altar. Kept the Rebbe his whole 52 years of his life. And the Rosh Yeshiva, for his whole lifetime, 90 years, always say, my father, my Rebbe, my Rebbe. They might have been great Rosh Yeshivas, but they always viewed themselves as being first and foremost a Talmud. And that's really the proper hashkafa in life. I heard this B'Shem Rav Scharenberg, a pretty nice vart. So why do we call, at least in the Ashkenazic world, our Chachamim, Talmidei Chachamim? Because you never stop being a Talmud. No matter how much you amassed, no matter how much you know, how much Torah you taught, you're first and foremost a Talmud. And that's something that's very important. For a guy to focus on, whether you're in third year, second year, or first year, how much am I a Talmud of my Rabban? How much can I say that title? And if I say it now, how long will it last? Years down the line, how strong is that kasher? How much am I attached to the Torah they teach? Will it last me a lifetime? I think that's the first foremost question of Machavos HaBa'olama. Chovas HaTalmidim. The first practical yesod. You know how a person's a Talmud? I think in Chavetz Chaim this is also misunderstood. My father-in-law, I remember many times, clarifies it with this yisod. People think, you know, a kesher means how much time do you talk to your Rebbe? How much time are you there shmoozing with your Rebbe? Some guy's telling jokes. Now, well, that's good. It's important. And Haguf, the more comfortable a person is, the more he'll talk about the different shilas and challenges and stuff in life. But the ikar aspect of a Talmud, there's a lot of dafka, the kesher and the good mornings and this and that, the banter. The ikar kesher a Talmud has with his Rebbe is a Talmud working on his Rebbe's Torah. Listening to a shmooze, hearing share, working on share, following, catching his Rebbe, whatever he can, to learn from him. That's the ikar kesher. It doesn't matter if you're shy, if you're outgoing, that's shy for anybody. To take the Torah that your Rebbe is giving over and listen to it, imbibe it, make it a part of you. Yeah. Rabbi Naaman had the Madrega. He listened, worked, imbibed. He worked very hard in Rosh Hashiva's Torah. He would fight the Rosh Hashiva back and forth. But when he got clarity, when he understood it, when he took it, he didn't just take it, he treasured it. He taped it, recorded it, all these things. But kept it for a lifetime. That's the ikar kesher. And a guy should walk away from yeshiva. Wow, you know? Look at these shmuzim that I heard from Rabbi Luban. Look at this lesson in bitachon I saw by Rabbi Neumann. I'll never forget that hashkafa, that rant that I hear from Rabbi Sharfman. You hear that, you live by that. That makes you a Talmud. That's what it's about. And when a person has a kesher with the Rebbe and learns from him, accepts his Torah, you're a different person. So many ways. You know? Anybody who has any dream fathoms to be Rosh Hashiva, to be a Rebbe, to be some form of Marbet's Torah, to whatever degree you're a Talmud, that will make you a better Rebbe. Yeshua was chosen to be the Manag Yisrael, to be the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, not just because of the Torah that he knew, because he was Misharis Moshe. He was Moshe's closest Talmud. He stood there by Har Sinai for 40 days, the Chap, whatever he could get, and took it and treasured it. Medrash on top of the page says that was discussed why Yeshua became the next Manik. It's more than that. So Shiva has a shmooze in the Das HaKenim. By the Egel, every Shevet fell. Moshe Rabbeinu might have been the leader of Klal Yisrael. The Gadol HaDor, everyone had his picture posted, you know, in their house. Wow, Moshe Rabbeinu. But you know what? They traded him in. B'tav Neshor for an Egel. The one Shevet, which didn't, was Shevet Levi. And the Das HaKenim says, you know why? Because they had the greatest kasher, the greatest connection, the greatest bond, the greatest understanding of who Moshe Rabbeinu was Shevet Levi. And that's what enabled them to withstand in the Nisayon of the Eagle. When you're a Talmud, it's just a different relationship. You're hearing the same share, but it goes in a different way. I'm hearing the same words, but to my heart it impacts as my friend it just quibbles, just hits just a little bit. Closer to the Talmud, a whole different relationship. And it's even more. There's a Chazal, a Ramban in Parsha Shmos. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to take the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, so Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem, firstly, who am I to do it? But his second argument was that the Bnei Yisrael could be fearful to go out of Mitzrayim, to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's a daunting task to conquer the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael. They could be afraid to do it. So Hashem answered that question for Moshe by telling him, you know what? Once you're Mekabel Torah in Har Sinai, the Bnei Yisrael will respect you in a different way. You're the teacher of Torah, Mekabel the Torah. The Lashon has down here is Gam b'chol yaminu li'olam, they'll believe in you forever. V'acharecha yirutzu l'chol makom asher tesaven. And they'll follow your every command. You say, go into Eretz Yisrael, they'll follow you right there. And the Rashiva asked, he says, okay, that might work for Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe wasn't the one who led them into Eretz Yisrael, that was Yeshua. How's it work that the Bnei Yisrael were going to listen to Yeshua to go into? So Rashiva says, it must be the Pshat, that since Yeshua was the Talmud of Moshe, he was the one there in the bottom of the mountain. He was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. When somebody sees that you're faithful to teaching the Torah that you learned from your Rebbe, you get the respect of your Rebbe. People believe in you just as much as they believed in your Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu, everyone believes forever? Well, Yeshua teaching Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the Talmud, teaching, giving over that Torah, has a different impact. I'm not just saying over words. These are words that I got from my Rebbe. It carries a totally different weight, a totally different respect. And the Ramban is writing here that this is how the Bnei Yisrael are going to believe in Moshe Rabbeinu and believe in Yeshua. And the Rashiva said, Hu adin eni manik Yisrael, midor dor, from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and everyone in between. You're teaching that Torah, you're giving over that same Torah, you're a true Talmud, it will carry through. People pick up on it. You know, when somebody says over the Torah that he heard from his Rebbe, that you see, he worked on, he tries to understand honestly and faithfully. Wow, it has a different effect. A Talmud giving over his Rebbe's Torah is different than someone getting up there and varfing his own thing. It's totally different. And when someone's kona the derech of his Rebbe, that too, it's a different Torah. It's not something I made up. Not some vart I thought about, said over after a beer on a Friday night. No. This is something that's me, but I got it from my Rebbe. The Torah has so much more of an impact. It's a different Torah. Lamaisa, a person has to realize, you know, in life, opportunities to learn from a Rebbe are there, but time keeps on moving. Baruch Hashem, you know, guys in this room, you know, Zochet is tremendous, tremendous. I'm talking about my Rebbeim that I was Zochet to here too. Rabbi Luban, Rabbi Neumann, Rabbi Sharfman, you know, everyone else around, tremendous, tremendous Rebbeim. You know, Baruch Hashem, we should all be Zochet that we should have our children learn by them. But, you know, certain points in life, you know, really appreciate who they are. It's something that happens, Baruch Hashem, this point in time, you know, they're young, somewhat young, fully functioning, and Baruch Hashem able to teach us. It's something you guys should appreciate. You know, I was by, when I was in New York, someone was hocking me. He says, you know, yeshiva should start sending out all the shmuzim and stuff. Guys should listen to him. Yeah, it's a good point. I'll bring it up with Rabbi Palgan. But a guy here should also, like, you know what? Wherever I'll be, next year, the year after, 10 years from now, you know, go back to that website. You know, see where Luban said is in a shmuz this week, or in a vod. What Rabbi Sharfman say in his Sunday morning share? Something to listen to keep that kesher years on. Because you know what? The Iker Kesher is not just saying hi to them, which is something, don't get me wrong. But the Iker Kesher is working on the Torah, listening to what they say, understanding and imbibing it, and more than that, making it a part of you. That's something. It's precious. It's worth all the money. Now, Baruch Hashem, I think we are very lucky here. You know, people, you know, in yeshiva, Rabbi Neumann was famous for it. You know, you have to run with hashkacha, and you know, if a guy shows up late to the Seder, the Rebbe would say, hey, how's it going? Sometimes remind you and this and that. But sof kol sof, Maisa, the guys here are wonderful, wonderful guys. Wonderful, wonderful Talmidim. I myself am blown away sometimes the things I hear that Talmidim do for Rebbeim. What Talmidim appreciate. A lot of things. It's amazing. And guys should, you know, utilize it, appreciate it. And it's a pretty awesome thing. I told some guys today, fascinating story. I looked it up. Chaim Shmulevitz was an amazing person. He also had a pretty good life. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, raid people's lives. He suffered actually as a youngster. His parents passed away. He actually had to leave yeshiva at the age of 18 to go to work to support his family. He was the oldest sibling. Hashkacha worked it out after he mamash was away from quote unquote learning in yeshiva and working for a year. He was able to get back into yeshiva and eventually get a job as a maggid shir. You know, Chaim Shmulevitz eventually rose to prominence as the Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir. And, you know, went through many, many things in life. In his biography or accounts, what was his greatest moments in his life? I'll say it over better. Those guys might share. He picked the two greatest moments of his life. One was a story. One night, I think he was actually collecting, fundraising for the yeshiva for himself. He was traveling. And he stayed in the house of some rav and some shtetl. And the rav asked him, he used to tell me over a vort, something you heard from your rebbe. As a Talmud Namir, he learned by Yibri Rucham. And he started saying over this, Chaim Shmulevitz started telling over to this rav, a shmuz that Rebbe Rucham said. The guy sitting there with his eyes closed, the host, this rabbi, sat there with his eyes closed, listening. And Chaim Shmulevitz thought maybe the man was tired and said to him, I'm sorry, you know, you want me to, you know, so you must be tired, you know, maybe I'll stop. He says, I'm not tired, and I don't want you to stop. When I hear you say over a chazal, it was actually a shmuz that Chaim Shmulevitz said himself. He says, when I hear you talk the way you say it over, it's mamish just like when I heard from my Rebbe, Rebbe Rucham. Chaim said the guy's made his day. The fact he was able to be mechavin, he says over a shmuz, it's like Rebbe Rucham saying over a shmuz. This guy's sitting there eating it up. Every word he says, wow. Chaim Shmulevitz said, I guess that must be a Talmud. And the second greatest moment of his life was one time a Talmud came over to him. Tell him over Chiddush that he came up with. Right? I guess Rabbi Lubin's not the only one who has the guys tell him Chiddushim. Chaim Shmulevitz had it too. Except here it's pretty bad. The guy gets up and plagiarizes Chaim Shmulevitz's own Kasha and Teretz, which Chaim Shmulevitz knew this guy was in the share for. Can you imagine that? Chutzpah Nora, Luban Shmuz week. The guy gets up and says over at Luban Shmuz. He said a few weeks before. Talk about a joke. And Chaim Chap, the pshat was, it was Poshet. The guy didn't realize he was saying over that Shmuz. He didn't realize he was saying over his Rebbe's own Torah that he heard from him. The pshat is, he went through the sugya, thought of that kasha. Totally. It might have been deep in his subconscious. But he also worked out an answer, which was the same answer that his Rebbe came up with. Chaim Shmulevitz says, that was one of my happiest days of my life, because I realized I had a Talmud. I had somebody who thinks the way I think, come up with an answer the way I would. That was one of the happiest days of his life. The emotional of Chaim Shmulevitz, who got blown away when he sees a little kid putting on shoes for the first time, or a crying by Rachel Imenu's kever, that same bowel emotions, Chaim Shalovitz, his happiest days was when he realized that he himself was a Talmud, and B, when he saw that he himself had Talmidim. I'll end with the story. Whatever. It's personal, so it hit me. I was in New York. Harris, Rashiva Rabbi Harris, came over to me. He said, Yaakov, how's it going? Okay, what are you going to say? I said, Baruch Hashem, good. So I don't know. Sometimes these silly things fall into my head. So I said, Rebbe, I'm preparing my guys for your share. He said, what? I said, I was doing a sugya. There's a Rashba. And, you know, I figured Rabbi Harris type question. The Rashba asks Bekiah's Kasha and comes up with a chop in his teretz. It's mashma. Without that Gemara, he wouldn't have asked such a Kasha. But how else was he learning the Gemara if not for the pshat that he says in his teretz? It's a classic Rabbi Harris type move. Rabbi Harris looks at me. His jaw drops. He says, Yaakov, do you realize I was working on the Kasha for the past 3 weeks in Shir? I was floored. I said, that was worth my ticket. I was blown away. Like, okay, well, that's pretty good. I mean, especially when you come up, your opening line is, I'm preparing guys for your share. I guess I am. But I think Rabbi Harris enjoyed it even more than me.
You ask him for
because the Maisa. That's a story about a shidduch. I had a shidduch ready. But the guy who runs after him, hey, what's the answer? Right? But Lamaisa, I believe Rabbi Harris said he didn't have an answer. Rabbi Harris doesn't, just talks to Kasha. But I believe Rabbi Harris is more excited than I was. It's an amazing thing to become a Talmud of somebody, to learn and imbibe and keep their Torah. It makes a person a different person. Rabbi Neumann, within the Shloshim of Spatira, certain schos that we have, a special connection, Shiva here, undertaking, big thing, Leo and Nishmaso, many things. And if we could all appreciate and learn from him what it means to be a Talmud, what it means to take a Rebbe and have him as your Mor Derech for your whole life, keep his Torah, greater will become his Talmidim, as Hashem, the greater will become as Tamini Chachamim.